I love the parables that Jesus tells. Do you have a favorite one? I mean, if you kind of scan through the list in your head, I really like that one. The Good Samaritan. Why that one? Because there's such a surprise in there. Here, I'll take my side up first. It turns out that the hero in the story is not one of the children of Israel, but is instead somebody who sort of doesn't belong. It's the outsider. It's the foreigner. Do you have other favorite parables? Thank you, Joel. Other favorite parables that you love? There's the one about the prodigal son. Yeah, nodding. Are you the older brother, Donna, or are you the younger brother? I like that one too. Because it catches me. It exposes me. Maybe my most favorite of all is the parable of the kind of the crazy shepherd, right, who leaves behind the 99 and does what? Goes after God, come and get me. Come and get me. Parables kind of work that way. They surprise us and they inspire us. Sometimes they confound us. Sometimes those parables, like great art, just catch us with a blank stare because we don't get it. Sometimes the window in our head opens up, and other times the window just doesn't open up, and I'm left kind of wondering, what in the world? The truth is, I feel a little bit like that about this one today. You know, of all the parables that could have come up in the cycle of things for Stewardship Sunday, why this one? Why this one? Because you know how it goes. There's a master, right? And the master leaves town, and before he goes, he leaves his three slaves in charge. To one of them, he gives 5 talents, right? And to the second one, he gives 2 talents. And then the third one, not to leave out that one gets 1 talent. Now, what is a talent? It's an amount of money. It gets translated in English as the word talent, but it really represents a vast sum. Some of the scholarship says $500,000. Some of the scholarship says, you know, more than $1 million. So these are huge amounts that are being shared or offered by this master. Well, the master goes away, and what happens while the master's gone? Yep, that's what happens. These slaves, these servants, these employees start to trade, start to do their work, and it doesn't take long. With their risking and their working, they double their assets. I mean, it's an impressive thing to see how they work with their craft and they are successful in this endeavor. But how about the third guy? You know, the third guy with the 1 talent, what happens to him? Well, digs a hole in the ground and sticks it in there and I suppose covers it up. Well, the master comes back, the boss shows up to settle those accounts, and what happens? They all get marched in front for an accounting. And the first one, well, he kind of shows the tally, right? And he's turned his 5 into 10. If you're doing your arithmetic, that's not bad. That's pretty good. And, of course, there is affirmation. There's commendation. He is congratulating for having done so well. The same thing with the second guy. He took all of his 2 talents and he doubled those. Well done, says the master. You will have even more. Now enter into the joy of your master. But now the third guy shows up. The third one is presented, and there's, well, a little different kind of exchange, right? Because that one with the talent, that one with the shovel and the talent, how does that one go? Yeah, it's a whole different little scene, right? In fact, this one actually addresses the master. Maybe the other two did, maybe the other two didn't, it doesn't say. But this one says, I knew you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, taking what doesn't belong to you. Here, take what's yours. And so the master responds how to that little speech? Badly. The boss says something like, "Oh, you did know, did you? You did know that I'm one who takes what doesn't belong to me. You lazy and wicked slave." Then what? Pow! Take away his talent. Give it to the guy with 10. Get him out of here. Not only get him out of here, get him to the darkness. Get him to the outer darkness, the scripture says. Take him away. Send him to where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. For to those who have much, more will be given. But to those who have little, more will be taken away. So do you get it? What's the moral of that story? yeah, Gordon Gekko. Okay. This is straight up. I'm not sure I understand this parable. For to those who have much, more will be given, and for to those who have little, more will be taken away. What are you up to, oh God? Now, there are different ways, and if you want to take any notes, you can. We're going to go to school just for a second. But over the years, others have offered up, interpretations or at least lenses through which we can look at this story and try to make sense of it. And I'm going to suggest to you that the first way, and maybe this is the one that's most popular with pastors, is sort of a classic way to look at it. A classic way to understand the parable of the talents. Because in this version, it kind of works. I'll show you why. Who is the master? God. God's the boss. Isn't that how all those parables work? Maybe. then who are those servants, 1 and 2? And maybe even the guy, 3. Isn't that us? Isn't that us? And then a talent, what's the talent? I suppose it's wealth, it's power, it's the possessions that we have. It's all that sustains our life. Now, what is the moral of the story? Don't be the third guy. Right? Truthfully, that's kind of where the story goes. Is that it, Jesus? Is that what you got? Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. I think pastors sort of like this version of it because it seems like the ones who are commended are the ones who double and redouble their assets, the ones who seem to get more and more because the church always needs more and more, so keep giving it to us. We want all we can get, and if it's not dollars, we'll take your talents too. You sign up and we've got a spot to use it. I don't know if that's good enough. Well, there's another way. It may be that this is actually something else going on, that what's happening here is a critique of the temple. It could be that there's another way to see this. Jesus in his own time, Jesus in his own audience, speaking to his first hearers, who is the master in this version? Well, God. God is the one who's in charge. But then these servants, aren't they sort of the leaders, scribes and the Pharisees, those who are in charge, those who have all that? But in this version, it's a little bit different. The talents are not a unit of money. It is the tradition or the Torah. It's the good news, right? It's the good news. I'm going to write Torah on here. That God is close. That God has a plan. So God has given to these leaders this great gift. Now the expectation is that it will be what? Multiplied and shared. That it will grow and will change the community. That it'll get out there and it'll change the world. But, so what's the moral of the story here? Don't be that third guy. um, That's a fussy Pharisee. That's the selfish one, who instead of sharing, instead of offering it up, instead of it being this natural and generous and beautiful exercise of inviting others in to see this good news, no, it's just about misunderstanding the character of God. It's just all about trying to get people to toe the line. Is that one good enough? I hope you're wondering what's next. What if there's another way? What if instead this is not a parable, well, about God or about us or about the leaders of the temple? What if instead this is an indictment of the system? Okay, what's that? What's that? Do you know that expression, the rich get richer and the poor get? Is that the way that it really is? Do you know that expression, greed is good? Maybe this is how life really is. In Jesus' time and in ours, the stacking of culture tends to keep those with advantage where? On the top. And if you're disadvantaged, I don't know, because of the color of your skin or where you grew up or what kind of religion you got or citizenship or whatever it is, where do you fit there? The bottom. And the system tends to preserve itself, and so there is this momentum to keep things as they are. So who is the master in this system? We could say the emperor. Am I spelling emperor right? Someone's in charge. Someone's exerting some control over it all, exacting some punishment for failure to keep it the way that it is. The ones who have more make more. Those who have less, well, they get nowhere. They get ripped off. They get sent away empty-handed into the darkness where there's nothing but weeping and teeth gnashing. Yeah, Jesus, that makes sense. I've seen that. I've watched that. I've been that guy at the bottom. So what's the moral of the story? Maybe it's that that third guy had it right, that the master isn't God, but the master is the man. And the objective then is to stick it to the man, right? Well, could be that there's another way. That, what if? What if the master is the tyrant of this age? What if the master is the liar in chief? It is the system powers that keep things as they are in a way that congratulates the rich, that rewards those with the most, that tries to keep things as they are. And then who were those first two slaves? I suppose that's us. After all, we are on top. Maybe you've noticed. We're the ones with the advantage. We are the ones who have been given so much and only to see it double and double and double again. But how about that third guy? Who is that third one? The one who refuses to participate in the system. Who is that third one who resists and protests the character of the so-called boss? Who is that third one who is stripped and sent into the darkness of death to weep and to gnash teeth? Who is this one that would rather die than let the monster master have his way? In a sense, Jesus leaves us hanging at the end of the parable. But when we read all the way to the end of the gospel, it's pretty clear who that third one is. Jesus gets sent away with nothing. Jesus is the one who goes to the darkness for us, with us. To die, to be tried in a circus court, to be arrested, only to rise again triumphant over those powers that would stymie the whole world. Gordon Gekko says that greed is good. Is that enough? Amen.